This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lana. Well, this interview is a sober one as we return to the subject of white genocide in South Africa. Joining me from South Africa is Monica Stone from the website southafricaproject.info and also the Living Waters Foundation. She is committed to spreading awareness about the rape, torture, murders, and the genocide of the white South African people. Rape, torture, and barbaric murder of Afrikaner women, children, the elderly, and men is swept under the rug, denied by Zio-owned media and the anti-white establishment. But it's real and it's happening, folks. But Zio Media sure jumps on the occasion to present you with fabrications surrounding apartheid. It's unbelievable how much disinfo and anti-white propaganda surrounds current events in South Africa, and the masses gobble it up without any investigation. It reminds me of the outrageous lie about Germans during World War II making lampshades from the skin of Jewish people. Well, the Afrikaners are no stranger to propaganda against them. Think about it. When do you ever hear the Afrikaner side of the story, let alone anything positive in the media about white South Africans? Why is that? Okay, Monica Stone, coming up. Hi, Monica. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you, Lana, for having me. Yes, it's your morning and my nearly good tonight. So, let's get on with it. And I hope I can be of help answering questions. And so let's go for it. And thank you.
Well, I wanted to have you on to discuss what's happening in South Africa. But before that, I think we should maybe back up and get just a little brief history lesson about your country, because all people know is outrageous lies surrounding apartheid, supposed evil white colonialists and slave masters. So tell us, how did Europeans first find their way to South Africa?
Well, of course, South Africa was in actual fact discovered by the Gama, the Portuguese, in 1490, I think. I'm not very sure, but about 200 years before the Dutch settled here in 1652 with the East India Company. And of course, we know that the East India Company, stationed in the East. Oh goodness, I've got my where exactly. But anyway, they were run by Jews. Stole the Lord 17. So they started with a halfway station in South Africa for all the ships going around South Africa, going to Europe or going to the Middle East or to China or India. Because the Suez Canal was not there yet. So they needed a halfway house to get clean water and provisions for the ships. So they started with a post office also. It was a big tree that was hollowed, and they left letters there. That was the first post office. Hmm. And they will pick up the mail there, yes, on their way back or on their way to wherever they were going. And this is how it started. And then in 1652, Jan van Riebeeck came with three ships, and they settled in the Cape of Good Hope. And this is interesting that the Cape has a few names. It's Cape of Storms, Cape of Good Hope, and the most beautiful cape in the world. Mm-hmm. So we are a country of a lot of contradictions, a lot of lies being spread and so forth, but the Dutch settled here in 1652 on April 6th. We called it then Settlers' Day, or the first day that they settled in South Africa, and then they built Cape Town and the castle and slowly moved up north. But they only moved up north in 1836 when the British took over in 1802. The Cape was sold by the Dutch to the British for 6,000 pounds in 1802. I suppose it was a lot of money, or maybe it wasn't a lot of money, but a lot of politics involved. Like today, it's always some shrewd deals doing this or doing that. But anyway, so, and of course, treason. So this is, they were very suppressed. The Afrikaners were not called Afrikaners or Boers then. They were settlers or burghers, and they got upset with the British, and then they moved up north over the Drakensberg Mountains. Drakensberg, I don't know how we can translate that. Dragon Mountains It's very rugged, and they pushed the wagons over it. I mean, they had to take the wheels off, much like you Americans moved
Oregon Trail
from place to place. Well, yes, exactly, exactly. A lot of tears, a lot of sweat, a lot of anguish, and loss of blood, loss of kin, and being murdered and slaughtered by whomever. So this is what happened, and they moved up to Natal, to the Transvaal, to the Orange Free State, and settled there with their families. And then, of course, we have the Battle of Blood River in 1838. This is very well known over the world, that they made a covenant with God that if he gives us the enemy and give us the victory, we will have that day forever as a Sunday. And there were 438 voortrekkers, white men, fighting about 20,000 Zulu impis. Yes, yes, it was, and they were absolutely slaughtered by the whites, and not a single white lost his life. There were only men, not one lost their lives. And then, of course, people will say, yeah, but it was easy. They had cannons and they had guns. Yes, we had one little cannon. I mean, I think it's about 6 inches high, maybe. Very, very small, and had to be the front loaders. I mean, like you people had in the olden days. And we were even more remote than what the Americans were in the same period of time. But anyway, so yes, they really got the victory because they believed that God helped them. And afterwards, talking to some of these old Zulus, they said, but they didn't fight the people on the ground. They fought these white men coming from the sky. And that gave the fear that they started trampling on each other, and this is where the name Blood River comes from, because the blood was flowing. I mean, they were really, really killing each other, in actual fact, to get away. But we got the victory that day, and sort of peace, and they had a lot of commandos going out to protect their own people, the voortrekkers, and settled in Natal, settled in the Transvaal, which became the Republic of the old South African Republic, is ZAR, Zuid-Afrikaanse Republic, and the Republic of the Orange Free State were two independent republics. And then, of course, then disaster struck because they found gold in the old ZAR.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely want to get into that later, but I wanted to get some numbers here because contrary to what Hollywood would portray, when you talk about South Africa, people usually think of millions of Europeans just showing up, drooling at the mouth with whips and chains in hand, ready to enslave. But there was just a small group of people who were just trying to survive and set up in the desert, people who were also escaping horrible conditions in Europe, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Well, you know, the Irish came because of the potato famine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Germans coming over in 1836, I think, settling in the Cape. We still have a lot of German names, the Stutterheim, Berlin, Heidelberg, because they settled here of persecution, either religious or political or starving.
Yeah.
So they came over to South Africa to make a new life here. No, we were never big in numbers. I mean, we were at the peak, white South Africans, about 5 million. And in 1948, when the National Party took over, we were about 4.5 to 5, as I said, and we only had 4 million blacks in this country, Lana.
Mm-hmm.
Only 4 million. And it was suggested then by somebody to send them back over the Zambezi, back to North Africa, where they came from. Because when the whites came to South Africa, and this is very, very important, there were no blacks here.
Yeah.
It was a complete open country.
Yep.
We had what they call now today the Khoisan, the Hottentots, or the Beachcombers, and the Bushmen. They are extinct already, the Bushmen, 200 years ago, because when the Khoisans came down from the north, they started fighting the Bushmen, killing the men and taking the women. So this is how they became extinct. No, they came from the north. When the voortrekkers moved up north, they the clashes started, because they started stealing the cattle, they started slaughtering the whites, and murdering the whites, most atrocious ways, of course. Very mildly those days, if you know what's going on here now. Mm-hmm. But yes, they were 4 million, and now we have been blessed with 78 million.
People also have to realize that the Afrikaners, you guys created schools, healthcare, you were curing malaria, gonorrhea, you taught farming, you gave clothing.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they were running around naked. And it's very interesting how every black tribe or race, I mean, we have different black races here. They're not the same. The Xhosa is as different from the Zulu as the American Indian is from the Eskimo. You know, I don't know the difference, but that's what's happening here. And then you get the sub-tribes. I don't know even how many there are. But yes, we have 15 different black races here, the Zulu, the Xhosa, the Ndebele, the North Sotho, the South Sotho. So it goes on and on. They don't even speak the same language, and they never even wore the same type of clothing. Some of them would ride oxen, others would walk. Then you get the Sotho blacks riding a little mountain pony. Mm. So they differ from race to race in clothing and in demeanor, in language. Yes, very much so. Like, I can't say we differ from the Europeans, because we are Europeans. But this is it. And they came from the north, and this is what suggested to send them back from where they came from. But, of course, it was shot down by the liberals, and now we have a bigger problem. Because, as we know in politics, they work for 100 years to accomplish whatever they want, and that is always the demise of the white man. And this is what they want in this country, is the complete destruction of the Afrikaner. And the white people, doesn't matter if you speak English, Portuguese, or French, we are white, and we've got to be destroyed all over the world. Here, of course, it's worse than in the rest of the world, but what I am so scared of, it is, it's taking off in the same direction, that you're going to get what we're going to go through here, because they see it successful.
Yeah, we have.
So they will do it in the States.
I keep saying that we have a lot to learn from South Africa. We just need to look over there to see how we would be treated as a minority. It's just the reality of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. While I was in the States, I always talked about it, because I can see the trend. Even when I was there in 1994, they asked me to say a few words at the meeting, and I said, well, why you in the majority? You've got to try and stop what's going to happen. And everybody laughed at me, because we're in the majority, it will never happen. And my remark was just like this, and I'm still saying it, that the Rhodesians said it won't happen in their country. The Angolans, the white Angolans, said it won't happen. The South African, white South African, said the same, and it happened. So any white American telling you it won't happen don't know what they're talking about, because it is happening, and it's going to take place, because this is the plan.
Yep.
Absolute destruction, and the more torture they can do, the best satisfaction they get out of the onslaught. I mean, we are in a war zone. The white people all over the world are in a war zone, and they better start waking up. Otherwise, we will be destroyed, and we cannot be destroyed, because we gave them schools, as you said so correctly, Lana. We built them schools, and then they started this student uprising in 1976, the Soweto uprising, because of an excuse that they do not want to learn anything in Afrikaans. But they all speak the language. And how do you teach a race of people who do not have any words in their language in science or mathematics? You've got to teach them in a language that you can grasp the meaning of science, whatever you want to discuss, mathematics. Because if we didn't give them a written language, they still wouldn't have been able to write.
So if we fast forward to today, how do we come to the ANC and the Kill the Boer theme song being sung in the streets and the murdering of white farmers? What happened?
Well, what happened is treason. amongst the white liberals here. A big treason, and of course the pressure by the Jews, big time. I have here an interesting article about Kissinger, deadly enemy of white South Africa, and this was written in September 1982, how he planned the whole Southern Africa demise, Angola, Mozambique, all the white countries, Southwest Africa, Rhodesia, all of them. And he gave the hand of friendship, so-called friendship, but in the meantime, promoting this equality thing and communism. And these white liberals just capitulating. I mean, I listened to ANC spokeswoman 2 days ago because they were discussing F.W. de Klerk, the last white, well, you know, quote-unquote, white president we had, said that he wasn't responsible for this democracy because he had to capitulate because of the pressure of the ANC. No, it wasn't the pressure of the ANC. When the ANC took over in 1994, their membership was only 50,000. Mm. That's it. But the pressure came from the UK, the United States, and from Europe.
Yeah, of course. On SouthAfricaProject.info, people can go to find a page called Jews and Communism in South Africa. And listed are there are four books for those interested that detail how a large number of Jews have worked to promote communism in South Africa, such as Joe Slovo, a Lithuanian Jew. So here we are again fighting a Zionist faction bent on killing our people for dominance and for wealth in another part of the world where white people are.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, always. If you have this problem, just go and look for the hand of the Jew. We go into the Bolshevik Revolution. And I can tell you now, and this is what I see here, my people are absolutely blind to it. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what Bolshevism is. This is a covert, slow Bolshevik Revolution. It's not the KGB or the NKPD, what they were called, whatever, with Bela Kin going from house to house, slaughtering 10 million Ukrainians. No, they used these blacks to go in and slaughter white people, one here, one there. It is a slow death. It's a slow, covert Bolshevik revolution.
And what's the excuse they use? They use excuse, oh, but the apartheid, it's like the Holocaust card here. They use that anytime they're doing something bad and want to get away with it.
Oh, absolutely. And also the other thing that they use to get away with whatever in the United States is slavery. Mm. Yeah, they're using apartheid. And you stole our country.
Yeah.
This is why we want to farm. But they don't even farm where they took the farms. It is absolutely a horrible, horrible disaster because they're not interested in farming. They just want. This is what it's all about. I want because I am entitled. And this is why what they call it entitlement. This is our entitlement. I want your farm, and I want to slaughter your cattle, and I want to slaughter you. this is it. They just want it. I mean, just look at the wonderful country of Rhodesia, which became Zimbabwe. There's nothing going on there. Nothing. There's no food. There's nothing. They don't even have rats or mice because they've been eating that already.
Oh, wow.
So they came over here. We have 4 million plus Zimbabweans here because there's nothing in Zimbabwe. Now we have blacks from Mali here.
Wow.
You know where's Mali?
Yeah.
It's up north next to Egypt. And how do they get here? You want to tell me this is by accident?
Someone must be bringing them down.
To walk down here?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No. They were brought down here, and this is how they brought them here, firstly, with the election in 1994 to vote for Mandela.
Kind of sounds like sounds like mass immigration coming into only white countries and all white countries, the same thing.
Yeah. Yes. And now they're fleeing the black countries because there's nothing left. South Africa is now the utopia, it's the land of milk and honey. And we cannot support these people because, firstly, we don't have the water to do it.
Yeah.
The water is a disaster. Electricity is a disaster. Everything is a disaster here. Nothing's working. The hospitals are absolutely in dire straits.
Do they believe that you guys have raped all the resources? Because I hear that all the time, blacks in America. Mm-hmm. You rape the resources, you owe us, they say.
Oh, yeah, of course. Rape the resources. But if you read Thomas Dixon's book, I don't know what it's called now, but he said for thousands of years, I just remember this very clearly, this paragraph, he said, for thousands of years, their bare feet walked over diamonds, over oil, over everything that they didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
So how can we have robbed this from them? We haven't stolen anything from them because they never owned anything. They are nomads. If they destroy this part of the country, they go to the next part of the country. And this is what they're doing. And where they go, everything dies.
It's just horrible. Yeah, you know, I was also reading about the Boer Wars, and I saw Mark Weber, he wrote a piece. Do you know who Mark Weber is? Institute for Historical Review. Yeah, about the Boer Wars, basically, that British colonial officials and Jewish financiers plunged South Africa into war to get their hands on the gold industry and the diamond industry. So there you go.
Oh, well, absolutely. And if you read The Secret History of the ZAR by Abercrombie, he said in 1894, that we have to fight the Boers. Now listen to this, it's very important. We have to fight the Boers because they will decide with Germany when we attack Germany. Mm. That was 20 years before the First World War.
Wow, yeah.
Because they knew that South Africa will side with Germany because we're Germanic stock.
Yeah.
And side with Germany, First World War, side with Germany, the Second World War. I mean, we had the rebellion here in 1914 because the Boers didn't want to fight the Germans. We said, no, we just fought a war against Britain. We want our freedom. We don't want this war now against Germany.
Besides, you don't want to kill your own ancestors. That's fratricide.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's very stupid. And what's very interesting is that in 1914, the Boers under General Mani Marits went to Southwest Africa, now called Namibia, to sign a mandate with the German government that we will never attack Germany. But if we are in trouble, that Germany will come to our aid. That was signed in 1914. So that mandate and that document is still valid today.
Mm.
And this is we had this prophet. He was born in 18-something, I can't remember now, but he died in 1926. And he went together with the Boers to Southwest to sign this document, and he said, now we've done what we have to do because this will be called in later. And he said that they will enlarge the harbor in Luderitz Bay, the Germans, and they will rebuild the railway line from Luderitz Bay to Prieska. Now, Lana, that railway line was opened last year in December. He saw that in 1914.
Wow, that's some planning
there. Yeah. If I have your email address, I have your email address. I will send you the book, and you can read it. And it's fascinating. And all the things he predicted, and then he said that we will have a black government, and then they will start fighting amongst each other. And he said in 1914 he was riding on his horse to Southwest, and he said, looked in the sky, and he said, I see this hammer and sickle flag flying in South Africa when it's not flying in Russia anymore. And it was not even flying in Russia yet. And it is flying here because we are under a communist government, and this is also what the people outside my country do not understand, that it's not only a black government. We are under communism, absolute out-and-out communism.
And as we know, communism loves to slaughter people. It's all about mass murdering.
Yeah, and if we go to move into Bolshevism, it's going to be even worse, like what happened in Russia. And we cannot afford to lose 10 million people, because then they will have to import some Americans to slaughter them here. You know, that's just a remark made in jest, but it cannot happen. But it's not going to happen, because I know somehow this thing will pan out. They will start fighting amongst each other like they're fighting in Parliament now. I mean, it's a circus. absolute circus. It's fist flying. It's unbelievable, and it is. You know, you just look at the pictures and you think, you hate the white man so much, but you're sitting in his parliament house on the benches the white man built, and you have a speaker, and you have this all the white man's making. Why don't you sit around a tree like you did 200 years ago with some beer, like you love to drink, and have Indaba, sitting and having a meeting to plan the next attack on the Zulus against the Khoisans or the Khoisans against the Sotho's? Now they're wearing suits and they look if they can be civilized, but they're not. It's just a veneer, just scratch.
How is your society even functioning down there? I mean, how is it being impacted since all these killings? What's going on?
Oh, it is. It's terrible. And I just heard yesterday somebody told me that they're not allowed now to announce more than one farm murder per week. So we don't even know. We don't even know. But so far, 80,000 whites have been murdered since 1994.
Wow.
And if you go back and see in the apartheid era that they hate so much, how many blacks were murdered while we were in a full-scale war on the border of Angola and Southwest, maybe 20,000 blacks were killed in it. Not even that. I don't have the figures with me, but it's very, very few and far between what's happening here now. And then they lie about it. It's just criminality, and it's not criminality when they walk into a house, take an iron, and burn an old lady of 80 years for hours on end, torturing her, then raping her, and then killing her. We had a murder here last week in a big shopping center where this black said to this little girl, "You have beautiful blue, you have good beautiful eyes, I'm going to take them out." Yeah, so she was shot, apparently, and a lot of blood was on the floor in the shopping center. Was apparently a big slaughter that happened there. But they keep all this away from us. If people do not report it and put it on the internet, nobody will know about it.
Now, I know that you did a march in Washington, D.C. back in 2012, and you've tried to bring attention to this. Is there anyone offering help, any type of governments or organizations that are trying to be there for you?
Well, we started the Living Waters Foundation, South Africa Project, and in actual fact, I just helped two families this past week to try and get on their feet. A little boy of 5 years old, the dad doesn't have a job, and because you're white and a male, it is just well nigh impossible finding a job.
Oh, it's like in America right now.
same story, yes. Absolutely the same story. So I sent them a box with he put on Facebook that his little boy needs some clothes. So we got him some clothes, and I sent the box off to him today. He should have it hopefully by the end of this week, so the little boy can at least have something decent to wear to go to school. And so this is what we're trying in a very, very small way. But there won't be any help from any government.
Now, I know that there's some white liberals that are kind of spreading disinfo online saying, no, there's nothing to see here, folks. It's all fine. So what goes on in the head of all these liberals down there, and how many white liberals are there in South Africa?
Too many.
Yeah.
Hopelessly too many, because this I can tell you, that they just deny what's happening because it's easier to deny. We had a discussion on the radio the other day, Pastor Maurice Gullett and I, and he asked me, he said, why do you think people deny what's happening in your country, even your own? The truth, it hurts too much. They don't want to hear it because maybe then I have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't... But let's be honest, Lana, what do we do? Because if there is going to be a white uprising in this country, guess what's going to happen? The ships will be landing here. The planes will be landing
That's
here.
That's right. They'll be killing
from the United
you.
States. They will be killing us. Yeah. Yeah. Because that plan was already drawn up by the Carnegie Foundation in the 60s. How many ships, exactly, how many ships was needed? How many American soldiers even will die in the war in South Africa? 19,000, they said. We need so many ships, so many planes, blah, 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 this, if there's a white uprising in South Africa, because we cannot tolerate that.
So is returning to Holland or Germany an option, or do you feel like, no, this is my homeland, I want to fight for it?
Yes, this is my homeland, and I will fight for it, because it is ours, it was given to us, and I am so convinced. I know people listening to this will start laughing and say, well, she lives in a bubble or on cloud cuckoo land, but I know that we are going to be okay. It was promised, and we will be okay, but we are not popular, and we are not allowed in other countries. It is so difficult. You can't get
no
in there because
status.
You're white.
No refugee status, yeah.
No, because there's no problem here. There is no problem here.
Wow.
So why are you running away?
Wow.
No, there are no people being murdered here. This is what they tell you. It's just criminality. You see, this is the thing. This is how they build the statistics, is with criminality, and this is how they get away with it. There is no race war here.
Yeah.
The race war between the blacks, they call that xenophobia. And I'm telling you that they are killing Nigerians, Somalis, left, right, and center. They're gunning now for the Indians. Big time. Burning down their shops. But you don't hear about that either in the States or in Europe. Nowhere.
Well, you know why. It's Zionist-owned media. So this doesn't fit their agenda.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, this suits them absolutely to the T, to destroy and murder. They need this bloodletting. It seems like they're living on it. They're vampires, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So as a white woman, do you fear violence or for your life when you walk around? What's it like? What's your life like every day?
Well, you're very careful. I mean, I went to town today to send the parcel off, and I went into a shop, and this tall black was sort of following me, and you're just very alert. But they're so quick, it's very difficult, and also you can't shoot them.
Mm.
You cannot defend yourself, because then it's racism in the first place, and then your life must be really, really in danger. So how do you prove that when you're dead?
Wow. So it's a hate crime to defend yourself, even if someone's attacking you.
Oh, yes, it is a hate crime, yes. A friend of mine walked into the house when a black was busy raping his daughter.
Oh.
And Lonai, of course, took his gun and he shot him.
Of course.
He went to jail for 15 years. Because, how can you do that?
And who knows what happened to him in jail, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. And this is what they do now for anything. Violent crime, not even that, they arrest you to rape you in the police stations. And this is what the police are doing. They stop women along the road, and you've got to go to the police station because you didn't stop at the stop sign. And in the meantime, you know that you stopped there, but you don't have any defense. It's like somebody calling you a racist. How do you say that I'm not one?
Well, what blows me away is that our own white European brothers and sisters can just sit around and be okay with it. It tells me that some of our folk have a disease in their head. They're suicidal. It's like they have this death wish. And I feel like, you know, the force of creation is going to take them out. They're not fit to live anymore.
Well, you know, this is a very cruel thing to say, but isn't this what happens?
Yeah.
Here in my country, that it is a sorting out process of certain people. I don't know. I can't move up into the universe and look down and understand the workings of it all. But now our people became stupid. And they're sitting in a death cell wishing to die. Why? I do not understand.
They've let a disease in. Modernity has come in. Let's also talk about liberalism, communism. That's when things really went downhill.
Yeah, well, and liberalism is white genocide. Absolutely white genocide.
And we have to be honest here. These are Jewish ideas.
Of course. I'm telling you, I lay the blame to the churches and the preachers. because this is where the problem started. Our problem started in South Africa when two British missionaries came in, Phillips and Reed. And I am not so sure. I'm trying to try and investigate. I have to know if they were really Jews or were they British. Or were they British Jews? Not that I believe that there's a thing like a British Jew. But this is the problem. It's this Judeo-Christianity. It's killing our people.
Yeah, I agree. You nailed it right there. It's like, I even have family like that they believe the Old Testament no matter what. They say, you know, Jews are the chosen people. My Bible tells me so. I have to support these people. They're good no matter what they do. It's just mind-blowing. The mind control, basically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And you know what's interesting? When I had access to on the internet much faster than here on the farm, it's very slow here. I had these stupid Afrikaners say that we have to ask Israel. Now listen to this. I couldn't believe it. We've got to ask Israel to help us to get our homeland. And I thought, and then I wrote my comment and I said, but how do you ask the enemy who caused the problem to give you a homeland?
Yeah.
Why must we have a homeland? My homeland is from the Cape to the Zambezi. There's not anything to discuss because nothing belongs to them. They don't belong here. They've got to go back. It's like getting them out of Europe. They don't belong there either.
Yeah.
They say, well, you know, Africa for the Africans. Yes, fine. What are you doing in Europe and what are you doing in the United States?
Yeah, exactly. You have your homeland, so stop complaining about anti-Semitism. Then go to Israel. You have it now.
Exactly. And with the blacks, it's the same thing. Go back to where you belong. Go to Liberia. Go to Nigeria. But you're never satisfied because they're all parasites. They can't live without the white man.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's just like,
stupid.
They tell us, well, why don't you go back to where you came from? It's like, well, we built this place. It didn't exist until we gave it value and made it what it is. And furthermore, there's a lot of archaeology that's suppressed about white Stone Age Indians that walked this country. So we were here first.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's the same thing. And I mean, it doesn't hold water, all these arguments, but they listen to what the Jews tell them. And this is the problem. And the whole ANC is run by Jews. Completely. I mean, now all of a sudden, Casarels, also big time Jew with Joe Slovo, he's now fighting the ANC, wants to start his own party. But this is what they do. It's all pretense. All pretense. It's, you know, what difference will there be in starting a new party in the ANC? I just heard yesterday they're going to demolish all the small parties and we will only have a two party system here, just like the United States, the Democratic Alliance here. Run by a Jew, and the ANC are run by a Jew.
Yeah, and they're the same party, folks. Yeah,
of course it's the same party. It's manipulated by the same people. So what is this the voting or whatever? I mean, it's like the voting in 1994 in KwaZulu-Natal, and 110% of them voted. Where did they get it all?
Mm-hmm.
It's a farce. What did Stalin say? It's not the voter that counts. It's the vote, the counting of the votes. And this is with the United States and with South Africa, and our history is so similar that I am so scared of the similarity between South Africa and the United States now that this thing can escalate and start happening in your country. I mean, you have the knockout games, you have all sorts of things happening there.
It's really bad here. No matter, you know, only whites can be racist. Only whites are the problem. You know, white babies, innocent white babies that had nothing to do with anything must suffer. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yes. And just because I want to prove to you I'm not a racist, we'll allow that. And the word racist was coined by Trotsky.
That's right.
So there we have it was coined by a Jew again.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the States, a woman asked me, so how are things in South Africa? I said, well, it's bad. A woman is raped every 22 seconds. And she said, oh, it can't be that bad. I said, she said, well, it's because you're so racist. So I said, okay. Now I'm going to be very crude in the way I explain
it.
I said, okay, well, let's put it this way. Now, I'm white. And he's black, and he's raping me. But I want to prove to him that I'm not a racist. So I tell him, I'll close my eyes, think about Queen Victoria, and say it's okay.
Exactly.
And then he keeps, yes, and then he goes and he bits off all my fingertips. Oh, that's gross. I said, well, this is what they do. And then I say, well, it's okay, because I'm not a racist. Am I proving it now? It's okay. And then he takes a blunt knife and he starts cutting off my arteries, and I'm slowly bleeding to death. But I proved to him that I'm not a racist.
Yeah, people need to stop caring about being called a racist or what others think of them. Whoop-dee-doo. And really, it's more like, no, I don't like you because you want to kill my people and make us suffer. So it's immoral to put up with such evil.
Exactly. I mean, it's like being an anti-Semite. What's an anti-Semite? It's the same story.
Yeah.
Also coined by the Jews. And this is our problem, that we really, really believe in the Jews as being God. And whatever they say goes, and that's fine. It doesn't matter if it's destroying me. No, it's not okay.
Well, I wanted to ask you, in another interview, I heard you talk about propaganda surrounding the apartheid. And I want conspiracy-minded folks to really think about this, because just like 9/11 and so many other false flags, a story has been concocted surrounding apartheid. So you were there. What was it like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I could walk down the streets in Johannesburg without any problems. The blacks were very courteous. They will greet you and just keep on walking. And we didn't have, of course, I cannot say we didn't have problems. Of course, Lana, we had problems, but not a war like we have today.
Mm-hmm.
But they had their own schools. They had their own universities. The largest hospital in the Southern Hemisphere was in Johannesburg, the Baragwanath Hospital. Of course, it doesn't exist anymore. It's virtually nothing because it's only a skeleton. But it was absolutely one of the best. People came here to be treated at the Baragwanath Hospital in Johannesburg. The Witwatersrand University was very liberal, very communist, the best medical school in the world.
Mm.
It's no more. There's nothing left. So they must not tell me about apartheid being so bad. Okay, they wore passes that when they come into a white area to say where they came from, but don't we wear a passport when we go to another country?
Yeah, we do.
So what is the big deal here? And they have their own townships, their own houses built by the government. Now, I just heard my friend here on the farm telling me that they're throwing stones and blocking highways because they're not getting what the ANC promised them in 1994. Promised them houses, promised them electricity, water, and blah, 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 and they're not getting it. And they will never get it because it was only a promise.
Mm-hmm.
But while the white government gave it to them, and I mean, we rebelled because we were upset that they could even make the choice of the bathroom tiles, the color of the bathroom tiles. and then they burned the schools down like they did in 1976, and the white government just build it again and give them books. They go to school for nothing. The whites got to pay, and now it's still the same story.
We're too generous, we're too soft, and we're too nice. We should just be looking out for our own and not be meddling with other races anymore. Just, it's not working.
Absolutely. No, I hardly agree with you there.
Yeah.
Because charity begins at home. What's left can go to somebody else.
Yeah.
But you don't give everything you have to somebody else, and then he comes and kills you with it. You know, I mean, as I say, the Indians had their own schools, their own universities. The coloreds had their own schools. The blacks had their own schools and their townships. They were kept. This is also apartheid. What can I say? To keep these different black races apart because they're killing each other.
Yeah, they were fighting each other too. It wasn't just white and black.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. And I mean, this is why mostly in the apartheid era we had Zulu policemen, because they just cracked down. They wouldn't take any nonsense from these others. When I had a business, my night watchman was a Zulu. And he was so protective of me, I'm telling you, nobody would have touched me, because I'm his mother and he's got to protect me. This is how the apartheid era was. There was respect. Now there's no respect because guess what? The white man showed.
I bet a lot of the black African women were also probably thankful because there was less rape, less violence.
Of course, they complaining. They said, no, the white man must take over. We can't handle this anymore. We can't get jobs. We're starving. We're hungry. And this is not what they promised us.
So how are the mixed race people, how are they being treated? Are they also being attacked? Oh, or?
Yes, absolutely. They don't fit in either way. So they are being attacked, and it's I mean, in any store you walk in now, mainly whites working there, now you don't see a white. Doesn't matter, and you must see the job creation. It is, if it wasn't so stupidly tragic, it could be really funny, because they're wasting such a lot of money. I mean, we went into town today. There were 20 flag wavers to tell you where to drive because they're busy repairing the road. Well, one could do it, but it's all job creation.
Yeah.
All the municipalities are bankrupt. They owe money to the electricity supply company, millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
So where's this money going to come from to pay for that? Now we have load shedding, and they already warned it's going to from in the morning from 10 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. We will be without electricity. Can you imagine big cities like New York, Johannesburg, Cape Town, without electricity and no traffic lights working?
No.
And this is what's happening here, people buying generators to keep things going.
So how many white South Africans are fleeing, emigrating?
Well, about 1.5 million left the country already. More talk about the leaving, but of course now with Europe, Australia, New Zealand, the United States having problems of the, you know, themselves, money problems, and there are no jobs. It's getting worse. They can't go, and I can tell you this, and I know the man personally got a job in Australia. He's a electrical engineer. So we went to Australia, got a job from this company, and when he got there, guess what? He had to plant lampposts. So, of course, he hurt his back because he's an electrical engineer and not a lamppost planter. You know?
Yeah.
And so when he hurt his back, they said, well, your visa expired. You're not capable of working anymore, so you go back. So he had to come back here. And so many of these stories.
What about the squatter camps? What about the white orphans or children?
Yeah, there are squatter camps. We have between 800,000 and 1 million whites in squatter camps. That is a third of the white population living in squatter camps. No hope, nothing. They moved 350 people from a caravan park, what you call a trailer park.
Yeah.
Where they had amenities, running water, not in the little houses, but anyway, at least they had baths and bathroom. They moved them to Munsiville. That is next to a black squatter camp.
Mm.
And it's on top of a landfill. And what they did is the government built them houses with corrugated iron walls, no doors, no windows, and the roof is held by one pole in the middle, with tied with ropes. That's it. There's no floor, nothing. This is where, see these old people sitting on the bed. That's all they have, sitting there in the corner.
Well, what can we do to help, Monica? What needs to be done? I mean, how do we get supplies to them? How do we get some money to feed them?
Well, you know, the money you can send to Living Waters Foundation.
Okay.
Go onto the website southafricaproject.info, get the information from there, and send the money to Living Waters Foundation, because I don't want supplies, and I'll tell you why. They put the taxes up so high if you send foodstuffs or clothes to South Africa, because they have to protect the food industry here, and they have to protect the clothing industry here. That, of course, nothing.
So it's a high tariff, basically, and anything coming in.
A very high tariff, absolutely very high tariff. I think it's something like 75%. So it's no use sending stuff. The best is to send money, and this is what we do. I do not give money to people. I find out what they need, and then I buy the stuff and give it to them.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know what they want to do with the money, and if I give them food, then they, you know, they don't have a choice but eat it.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go and sell it for drugs, if we find out, of course, they go off the books immediately. Because I can't. There are the people really needing it. So this is the way I'm working it here. But that's the only way we can do. In a small way, of course, we need lots of money. We need. Well, a new infrastructure in this country. What can I tell you? There's nothing. The roads are in disrepair. Everything is in disrepair. What they did in 20 years is just amazing. How they destroyed everything. Of course, when you go to Johannesburg and drive on the highways, then you see all these new buildings built by the American with American money or Jewish money,
mm-hmm.
new shopping centers, and new this and new that. But just look behind, and then you see there's nothing going on. Everything looks like skeletons.
Mm.
There are no windows, nothing, because they stole everything. It's like the hospital in Kempton Park. Nothing's left there. They even took the wires out of the pipes in the wall.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. They stole a school the other day, by the way. I must tell you this. The whole school. Within 2 months, there was nothing left.
Wow.
They started with the roof, and now it's only the pillars left. That's all it is. There's nothing. Every brick's been taken.
On a physical level, on a spiritual level, how do you see this problem being solved?
I see it only solved by intervention by God. Because from humanly speaking, there is no will to change it. It's like the people in the United States do. It's as if they lost something. I don't know. There's going to be something that's going to cause all this. I know maybe something like Ebola will break out or something like that. I have no idea, but I can tell you this. Humanly speaking, there's no way we can solve this, because when we are going to move in to try and clean up, we will be attacked by Europe, by the United States, and by the United Kingdom. Big time. Because you people are being ruled by the same people who are ruling here.
That's right. Well, the way I see, America's a sinking ship. You've got Australia, you've got Canada, you've got New Zealand, you've got all of Europe. Pretty much everywhere we are is now a sinking ship. So now we have to think about, we can't take our governments back. That's not going to happen. It's going to fall. It's going to crumble. It's going down. So now we have to think about what are we going to set up next so we can tell people this way. If you're one of us and you think like us, there's a home for you. That's the next plan.
Yeah.
We need to organize and start thinking about how that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to start supporting each other instead of trampling over each other. I mean, I see how the leaders of whichever organization, be it church organization, the right-wing organization, political, whatever, they keep on fighting each other. We don't have time to do that
anymore.
That's right. We are sinking. We are drowning.
Yep.
We can't do that. We don't have the luxury.
No, we can't fight
it's
about the intricacies. You're either for your people or you're against your people. We have to keep
exactly.
It really simple here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like I said many years ago to a right-wing leader, they were talking about something very stupid, and he said to me, "What do you think?" And I said, "This is very interesting. You're fighting about words." I said, it's the same as when the Russians, Russian Orthodox Church, were fighting the priests about the color of their cloaks when Lenin was taking over.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, Mandela is taking over here, and you're fighting who's a Boer, who's an Afrikaner.
That's right.
I said, it's not important. Let's win this war first, and then maybe that's not important when we win the war, because we've got to build the country again.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. We've got to build schools. We've got to build hospitals. We've got to repair the roads. We've got to repair our people.
That's right.
Because they lost. I see it in their eyes, and I'm here on a berry farm, and I'm telling you, the people coming here, you wouldn't believe how many people say, but, you know, things are not right. What are we going to do? What's happening? Why? And you've got to give them hope. We cannot lose the hope. We have to keep the hope.
That's
We've
right.
got to keep the faith.
This battle is spiritual, it's mental, it's emotional, it's physical. We have to hit this from every single angle possible, from our own propaganda to making our own art to setting up our own political parties. I mean, the works. We need to pull in talented people and say, what are you good at? Here's a job we need filled. That's what we need to start doing. Who's the poor people?
Exactly.
Who's starving? Who's homeless? We need to start taking care of our own, building our own networks, taking care of each other.
Yeah, well, this is what we're doing here now. It's a lot of people just doing job hunting for whites, and whites giving only jobs to whites. The farm I'm here now, only whites working here.
Good.
That's it. And we're getting praise for that. I mean, there was a lady from Ireland here the other day. She said, I haven't seen any blacks here. She said, I'm so happy to see that. So I said, oh, thank you. Yeah, that we only whites here. This is what we have to do on a very small scale. Start building up. It's like in the beginning of the United States, building up your country.
That's right.
It's in the beginning, like the Voortrekkers here, with little patches of people here, people there, building up the country. This is what we have to do now.
I agree.
And taking hands. And it doesn't matter what language you speak. If you speak American, you speak English, German, Russian, French, or whatever, we're all in the same boat now. We're sinking and drowning. We have to take hands and get the ship afloat again. So, you know, I'm really begging. I'm always begging. People work together. These little things bothering you about this one and that one, it's not important. We've got to win this war first. Don't they understand that we're in a war?
Yeah.
Or do they think that it's always tanks rolling? No, it's not like that. It's completely different now, the way they fight this war. And the propaganda war, as you say. We've got to counteract it by spreading the truth like we're doing now, what you are doing. Absolutely a great job by telling the people this is the truth, this is what's happening in different countries, in different parts of the world, but in the meantime we are fighting the same enemy and we are in the same boat. So let's do it.
Also, like you said, those who have ears to hear are going to hear, and those that don't, maybe their time is coming to an end. Maybe this is God's way of actually taking out some of those people that aren't fit to live anymore.
Yeah.
Let it be.
Well,
just let it happen.
Yeah. Let it happen. And, well, you know, it's like when Pontius Pilate had a discussion with Jesus Christ. It's in his letter to Tiberius Caesar. He said, I talked to him and he said to Jesus, but they're going to crucify you. You know, you're innocent and so forth. Very interesting. And he said, you cannot stop this river in flood. We cannot stop this river in flood. But we can take hands and we can float and we can make it to the bank and start all over again.
That's right. That's right.
But let it go, because this is a sorting out process that we do not understand. It breaks my heart. But it's something I can't do anything about. What I can do is the little bit I am doing and trying to change in a small way somebody else's life, like this 5-year-old boy was going to have new clothes to go to school.
Yeah, see, if everyone just found one job, everyone listening, just one job that you are good at, one talent that you can do to contribute, that is what we need right now. We need people finding, we need them rearranging their life. If they're in a dead-end job or they're with people that aren't like us, you know, you need to rethink your life. You need to rearrange your life to get on board with this, because it is a war and you need to find your place in the army, basically. That's where we're at.
Yeah, it's another type of army and it's another type of war. This is exactly how you say it. And we have to find our little place where we can help each other. And, you know, don't trample somebody when he's down or she's down. Try and help. Give a hand, you know, and test people. So many will also fall off that we can't do anything about. But yes, we have to do this, and this is great. And I thank you so much so much that you give me time to explain what's happening here, but there are so many things we can still discuss.
Please tell us about your website and radio program, Living Waters Foundation. Let us know everything.
Okay, Living Waters Foundation, we started as a charity organization. So this is what we do, is people send in money. I got some money today sent by Western Union. Pastor Gillette so kindly sent it to us today. We're getting very small donations from people like you and I. We don't have any millionaires, because billionaires are not the friend of the white man. Not at all. We know who they are and what they stand for. So we don't expect big money from big names. So it's the small way. We're trying to help each other. And website is southafricaproject.info, where we try with a lot of articles to explain what's happening here, why it's happening and what happened and all the treason that we find in every white country, and it's running deep and very deep. So yes, Living Waters is very, very important. So if you feel in your heart to send us $5, $1, with the exchange rate to South Africa, our money is falling. It's for every $1, we get about 11 rand. 11 rand can buy one loaf of bread. So we're grateful for 50 cents that can buy half a loaf of bread. Thank you for that. And this is what we do. And we're trying to help somebody somewhere in dire straits. And there are plenty here, as I say, between 800,000 and a million people in camps, with no hope, no running water. I don't know if the letter, no, I must still post that one. This mother was writing a letter from one of the squatter camps. Lana, it breaks your heart, she said. Three little ones are sitting on the floor, well, of course, on the dirt, and she's got a pot on the stove, a little Primus.
Yeah.
And the water is boiling, and she said, I don't have the heart to tell them there's nothing in there, only the water boiling. I don't know what I'm going to feed them. And what I heard is that when babies die in these camps, they just bury them because there's no money to bury them. There's no money for medicine. It's like, this is an extension of the Anglo-Boer War concentration camps.
That's right. Those were the first, weren't they?
The first ever in the world were the British concentration camps in South Africa, yes. And that was horrible, horrible, horrible. This is much worse, much worse. Because there is no hope. At least their husbands will come and smuggle in something to eat. I mean, 26,000 women and children died. It doesn't sound a lot of people. But in a small country like the South African Republic and the Orange Free State, it's devastating. If we didn't lose those people, and there were many more, they found out now it's about 35,000 men, women and children died, and old men, we would have been 18 million whites in this country. That would have made a big difference. But that was the planning. As I told you, Abercrombie said, we've got to fight the Boers because they will side with the Germans. And this is the hatred of these people runs so deep. And
it's the hatred of the Nordics and
that's
Aryans.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And our people are really very innocent in a way that they do not understand this deep-seated hatred. They cannot fathom that hatred can be so vicious.
Yeah.
How can you hate that bad? How can you hate so much that you go and rape a 90-year-old woman,
yeah,
and then go and brag about it, you know, or throw a machete to put the man out of commission that he can't walk, and then say, well, now I'm raping your woman, and you're going to watch. I mean, how many of them they bound to chairs and made them watch while they were raping their women?
It's horrific.
Can you imagine? How do you live with that?
I would go insane. I would want to kill, you know. There's just no way around that.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is just, well, there are no words describing it. And this is what's happening here every day. We don't even know how many. I mean, it's like in Kempton Park a month ago, a 90-year-old man was beaten so badly that they said it was just blood and flesh. They bound him in the toilet and just kept on hitting him till he was dead.
Yes.
They vicious, no, they're not even barbarians. They're Satan's born, because a barbarian stops at a certain point. A savage stops at a certain point. But these people don't stop at any point, because they unleashed, and because the white man showed weakness, I am entitled to do this.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm asking the whites in the world. Don't show weakness. We have to stand up and say, this is enough now.
That's right, white man.
We're going to say this is enough.
It's time to get mad. It's time to have some confidence, some courage, and be a warrior, spiritual and physical warriors. That's what we need right now.
Yeah, exactly. And by getting spiritually stronger, you will get physically stronger.
Yeah.
And if you're spiritually stronger, then the attack will not really come, because it's weird that they can see it. You know, it's I don't know if it was in my one article. It's just very interesting what happened. This told the story. He said he had three daughters, and then the first little boy was born, and he was in town with his wife at the hospital, and then he called to the farm to tell his parents, and there was no answer. And they freaked out, and he started driving like a madman. Got there. When he got to the house, he found his father on the front porch dead, was shot. And then he started praying. And he said, please, God, just be with my women, my mother and my three daughters. And but he didn't know they were still in the house. And he walked into the bedroom, and they were, of course, bound and gagged. And then they hit him with something over his head and dragged him to the bathroom and locked him in the bathroom. But he didn't stop praying. He said, please, God, rebirth my women folk. And then they ransacked the house, two of them, and they opened the door. And he said a light came in there, a bright light came into the bathroom. And the one black said to the other one, let's kill him now. He said, no, we can't do that. He's a man of God. And they turned around, they left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we don't even know about all these miracles.
Yeah, my grandma told me stories like that too. She went through the Bolshevik Revolution, and my great grandparents were killed, and horrible things happened. And she told me some kind of miraculous stories that happened where soldiers would come into the room and actually not see her. She was a very spiritual lady. So yeah, anything's possible.
Oh, of course it is, but we lost that faith. We lost trust in God. You know, he became somebody sitting on a throne with a crown on his head, instead of being the almighty creator that can change. He can change the things, but we have to change. And it can happen, and it will happen. We've got to get it back. So we must start working. And, you know, I listened to your voice the way it changed when you talked about your grandmother, that you're a spiritual warrior for the Almighty God. Absolutely.
Oh, I feel
and
it.
I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
of
you,
course. Mother. Of course. Of course. No, no, no. No, there's no way, Lana, that we're going to lose this war. We're not going to lose it.
Well, in the end, I think that the righteous and the truth always wins. It's going to take doing a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yes. 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 Well, we already started, and we must just keep on doing it, and we will get there. A lot of work to do, as you say, and we will get tired, and like I am today, I thought, oh my, you know, it's hot and bothered and blah, 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 but then you hear good news, and you can help somebody, and that really gives you such a spiritual lift that you can be there to help.
That's right.
So this is what we're going to do, is just keep on going, because in the end, we're going to reap the benefit. It doesn't matter what these people say. They know they're losing. This is why they unleashed this last terrible attack.
Yep. SouthAfricaProject.info is your website. And let everyone know about your radio show, too. When is that on?
That is on a Saturday at 10 o'clock Louisiana time on Spreaker.com. So please listen in. If you can't, then go to the archives or listen later. But, yes, and if they need to contact me, my Email address is monica.huggett@gmail.com. And I better spell my last name. It's huggett@gmail.com. And if I can send you information, I will be glad to do that. And please, if you can, support Living Waters Foundation. We need all the help we can. Little bit, we're going to start moving this wagon. There are no carts, no horses in front, because the horses died of starvation in this country. But we're going to push this forward.
All right, Monica, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. It's hard to imagine that while many of us are tucked away in our comfortable homes, still safe and sound, one-third of the 3 million Afrikaners are living in squatter camps, denied jobs, denied their pensions, denied government aid, denied access to any facilities, orphanages don't receive funding, and they are denied refugee status to flee from being genocided, denied any help from international governments or organizations. So if you feel moved and if you can, please donate to Living Waters Foundation to help provide food, water, clothing, and other necessities for struggling Afrikaners in need. You can send your monetary donation to South Africa Project, P.O. Box 282, Converse, Louisiana, 71419. The address is available on the southafricaproject.info website and on the Living Waters Foundation Facebook. Also, if you missed my last interview about South Africa from an anarchist perspective, please visit radio314.com and download Adi Skuta's interview dated June 18, 2014. You can also find it on YouTube. Radio 314 and Red Ice Creations are on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Stitcher, and YouTube. Get in touch with us. And of course, if you like what we do, you can sign up for a membership at redicecreations.com. Everything helps. You know, if the world actually believes the Out of Africa theory, then Africa is for everyone. So what's the problem? They should open their arms, embrace diversity, celebrate differences, and welcome mass European immigration. Take care, everybody. Talk soon.
My name, it means nothing. My fortune is less. My future is shrouded in dark wilderness. Sunshine is far away, clouds linger on. Everything I possess, now they are crying and thinking is all.